Welcome to Test Pilot, the only show where you can listen to us talk about shows that you could watch at the, as well. I'm Kale, not your host. That would be Mark.
What's up?
And Cassie is here, and our God, isn't she beautiful?
I am.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. Self-affirmations are important.
They are important.
How are we doing outside world? We're here. We are.
Fuck, I hit the wrong one, but it's kind of funny.
No, it is kind of funny now.
Yeah. I went for the cheers.
Well, they can probably
the
hear the party going on upstairs.
That's true. The party's for us. We're actually doing, we're throwing a one of our secret Test Pilot parties. We just accidentally double booked Cassie. So we put the party on a day where we're also recording. So that's going on in the other room.
It was difficult.
It's when people think about Test Pilot, they think, now they're some party people.
Yes.
Everyone says that.
All three of them. They're the kind of guys and gals that I just want to get down boogie with.
The proof is in.
None of them leave parties without saying goodbye.
No.
That's true. I've never bailed early.
Yeah, I read an article the other day, and can I fix what I just said?
Yes.
I read the title to an article the other day.
Dope.
And the title said, "People who leave parties without saying goodbye." Save.
Like, are more likely to die alone.
Are more likely to eat another human.
I am.
And it was people who leave parties without saying goodbye, like add X amount of weeks to their life or something like that.
We're
the time,
long, guys.
The time they're spending not saying goodbye is like, they use it to like, you know, like ride a bus or something like that.
Are you a ghoster? Because Mark's a massive ghoster. I'm a massive ghoster. Do you ghost a party?
No, he never leaves a party. He's one of the last standing.
Well, that's why I had the idea that all of us were like that, but I guess I just fucking black out.
Once at a party at your place, like years and years and years ago, Mark was my lift and he left the party without telling me.
Yeah.
That's fire.
That was sick, actually.
He probably left without telling me. No, did,
and then
I
he didn't
like
pick
he
up my calls.
I don't know.
So I didn't know that he'd gone and I was calling. That he was didn't pick up, and surely he was sitting in the Uber the whole time.
That was before I was on the show. If you left without saying
goodbye
to me
now. Well, how could
I
have been your Lyft if I got an Uber?
I think we're going to split an Uber.
Yeah, that makes sense. We lived close to each other back then.
And you just bailed on me. And I was just like, they're being like, and people are like.
Yeah, because I knew.
Are you going home? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm just waiting for Mark.
You know, the thing is, I was just worried about my Uber rating.
And I'm a monster.
Yeah, I
knew that if you were next to me, you'd say something to the Uber driver that would put me down a peg.
Yeah.
Like, no,
you,
that's fair.
Yeah. And I'm rocking that solid like 5-star lifestyle at the moment.
Mm. She's asking questions like, what are those weird squiggly lines in your
where
name?
Where are you from? And then when they answer, she goes, ew.
Yeah. And she's like, and honestly, no matter where she goes, a tidal wave of dog hair.
It's crazy.
My dog doesn't shed, but I do.
I know. That's why we're like, what the fuck does this bitch do?
Where's this hair coming from?
What does she do? Hang out at the groomers? Dog groomers, by the way.
But we have a very special episode today. I'm sorry to get all business on you, too.
That's true.
I'm a business boy.
It is special. It's now, very special to me.
Well, let's go around the circle, ending with me.
It's a triangle.
Well, you know, that's true. Let's go around the triangle and let's end with me. And let's just hear why your theories to why this could be a special episode. Cassie, what's yours?
This show is incredibly special to me.
The show's special to you. Now, do you think that's what I would have said it makes it a special episode?
Yes, because I think that you love me very much.
Okay, now, Kale.
So the objective here is to say what we think you are about to say.
Yes.
Right. It's the year anniversary since we hid that body.
Ah, shit. Is that
I forgot
now?
That it was a year. Wait, did everyone get gifts?
Yeah, no.
Mark bought magnets.
I bought magnets. We buried the body.
Yeah.
We buried the body.
We don't need to get into it.
I don't think we should get into it.
I thought it was a weird look, I'm probably wrong, right? Because I don't know why you'd bring that up. I hope.
I'd forgotten.
I'd actually forgotten. On the phone to the UK to our lawyer, Will, and he was like, I'd prefer it if you didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Shout out, Will. Yeah. Man, he is good.
Big ups
podcast
to the
lawyer.
London Massive. Is that good?
No,
what I did?
No, it wasn't.
Shit. Yeah. No, the reason why this is actually a very special episode is because we're tucking into. Mm. Thank you. The party is going.
Party's
on
raging next door.
What's going on? success because we're on our next season of Test Pilot. Did I get it?
That is the reason why. We are up to our arbitrary sixth season of the Test Pilot
podcast. So this is ep one of season six.
Ep one of season six.
All right, well, I better get Mel to find an episode.
Before we get into... Okay, well, this better not be sappy because if it's sappy, I'm going to go nuts.
It's not.
I think it's going to be sassy.
Yeah. Our guest list is so long that we're booked out for guests until like September at the moment.
Is that true?
That's actually true.
But we'll bump.
I don't know. You know what's fucked up?
It's crazy. Somehow I think someone's going to get bumped.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah. And someone's going to get bummed live on air.
Oh, bummed. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's actually kind of wild. Like,
here's the thing. It's
and
wild.
People keep texting me and being like, hey, I did say it. I'm like, no, I know. But
it's wild that I don't know a single guest that's coming on as well.
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
We've actually got a new guest coming on. Someone
who are all these people you're inviting?
Sorry?
Is it Ricky Lake?
Did you get Ricky?
Look, Ricky's still a pretty soft no, but a soft no.
A soft no.
I told her Oprah's in and she said, fuck you, that's not true.
Yeah. What do you reckon for this for a rap name? You can go DJ, you can go MC, or you can go Lil, because a lot of people are doing Lil.
Yeah, I'm Lil Sass.
Lil's a bit oversaturated at the moment, but I will give you
But I'm Lil Sass, Mark knows this.
What about like, we'll take Lil and then we'll kick it to the curb.
Okay.
You're out, Lil. So we're either going to do, we could do DJ, MC. I like MC for me because it is my initials as well, Mark Christopher. So what about MC for me? MC Flopra.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's like Oprah with a flow.
I like it. Yeah. I wanted to not like it, but I like it.
Thank you.
I'm MC Debt Collection.
Oh. Mm.
I'm Lil Sass.
Yeah. Well, we can get the mixtape going, I guess.
Yeah. My rhymes are about getting what's owed to me.
Yeah. All mine are about like a little man I once met. I don't want to get into it. And we definitely don't have time.
Like a little person?
Listen, he's small.
Yeah.
He's crunchy.
Yeah.
He's going to steal your kids.
Yeah.
He needs, and he can spin gold?
No.
Yes, Mark, that's
teach
it.
Teach other people how to spin gold.
We just want him to move on from
this. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm so sorry.
He can spin gold, Mark.
You did call me beforehand. You're like, don't buy into it. He's going to try. And
I mean, you saw the post.
It's really hard because I rap about him a lot. And I don't know if you know this, but not much rhymes with Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm.
I can't even say it very well. And to be honest, I think I've stumbled over it every time I've mentioned him on the podcast. I had to spell it about five times today. Didn't get it right once.
Rumpelstiltskin, he'll kill your first kin.
Whoa! I like it.
Mm-hmm.
See, I rap all about taking what's owed.
Yes.
You're really coming into Mark's rap career though, and he looks threatened.
I am threatened. it's definitely a...
That definitely took him by surprise,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It took all of us by surprise. I was delighted and he's terrified.
I'd never considered just rapping the end of the word.
Right.
I do try and do the whole word.
Right. No. That's more respectable.
But I can't think of
it. I take more of an Eminem approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Da 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 da.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a very good episode today. I'm sure you can agree.
I feel like I really pulled the rug out from under him. I thought he was going to go into a thing about rhyming, but I guess it's done.
I think he's going to be rattled for
I guess
rest
I fucking
episode.
Put it in the dirt.
Yeah, I mean, like,
put it to bed.
Like that bit body, of, am I right,
bit
guys?
Bit of mum spaghetti over here, I guess.
Did you say my body is equivalent to dirt?
No, I said like that body that we put in the ground last year.
Right, yes, yeah. Yes. Like, well, we're trying to move
on. It was special to me.
We're trying to move on from that.
Our legal counsel
like turds in the sand. We're trying to move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know.
What do you reckon? Season.
She says yuck.
Season six. Oh, yes.
I just realized.
This is what I wanted to talk about.
It's a very special episode.
Well, it's a special episode.
Yeah.
But
we're in season six.
And I don't want to get sappy here.
Yeah.
But in a way, to me,
season six. Again.
Every episode's a special episode.
Yeah.
Except for the Fleabag. That one was rubbish.
Can we do this season? Can we do it a little differently and go to 66 episodes in this season?
Oh, the number of the beast.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, I don't see why not.
I like to get naughty.
Should we call it the syndication season and just have season six be 100 episodes?
Six seasons in a movie.
Hell yeah.
I need to have a discussion with you guys here, actually.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Because there is, in my mind, there's some stuff we have to talk about season five.
Fuck.
Because we've gotten to the end of season five now. And as you know, we say at the end of every episode, the highest rated episode will get merch and the lowest rated episode will get merch.
Right. Mm. Thank God. I thought he was going to do producer notes live and I was terrified.
I know. We were going to cop it.
Well, hold on. That comes at the end.
That comes at the end. no, what I'm saying is so we don't usually announce it on the podcast, but I'm saying why don't we announce it? So
that's, yeah.
Let's do a live announcement. Let me pull out my spreadsheet now. But there is a conversation to be had at the same time.
I still stand by my point on the conversation, but we'll get there.
Okay, so let's unveil the top rated and the lowest rated episode of last season, and these people will be getting merch. Now,
start that drum roll, Kale.
Fuck.
Rumpelstiltskin. I'm Stillkin.
You can't use the word kin. That's just stealing it.
We're Stillkin. I'll still bin.
Rumpelstiltskin, I'll take your foreskin.
See, I'm sorry, but like, if you're going to make it your thing, at least be better than Kale at it.
Rumpel, crumple, put it in a frumple.
Forced abortion.
What? Take your foreskin, that's forced abortion. Okay, so in the number one episode of season 5 of Test Pilot, with a bullet, hitting a 9.0, currently sits.
Sorry, what got 9.0?
Well, I haven't announced yet. Oh. This currently sits at number 4 of all time, tied with Freaks and Geeks.
Ooh.
At a 9.0, Stranger Things.
Yay! Yay!
Yeah, Will.
And that was
Hand deliver Will his prize because I'm just that kind of girl in June.
That was brought to us by one of the most handsome guests we've had, Will.
Oh, the most.
Now.
He's pretty handsome.
You're no longer a guest, otherwise it would be you, Kale.
Now.
I appreciate that.
You know that I felt that.
You're the most beautiful one on the podcast.
I know.
Lowest rated episode of last season.
Oh.
Not by a guest, just the lowest rated episode of the season. This isn't the one that gets the gifts.
The girl that did it so great.
It was Fantasy Island.
Oh, no, it was you.
I brought that one to us. That the lowest rated last season.
Got lower than Paris Hilton.
Yeah, we got a 1.3 for Fantasy Island. And that sits, of all
time. That's surprising.
Fantasy Island sits at our 96th of 100 episodes.
I've got to say, I'm pretty sure that this is the first season where the lowest rated hasn't been by either a guest or myself.
Yeah. Now, the guest lowest rated. But we've got a conversation to be had here because our lowest guest rated episode of the season was the Love Boat.
Yeah.
Love Boat.
Now, we did have a guest that episode.
Yes, we did.
It was Kat.
It was Kat.
She didn't bring us the episode, though.
So here's my argument for why Kat should get the merch.
Has she got merch before?
She's never got merch before.
Never got merch before.
This is my argument is because, yes, I picked the episode, but it was because I needed, because she wanted to come on and talk about the cruise. We wanted to discuss that with her. So I had to find an episode with the cruise. So because it was inspired by her, I reckon she gets the merch.
Yeah, that's fine with me because to be honest, like...
then it's my episode?
No, it's mostly yours. Actually, it goes me, Kat, Cassie, Kale, so...
What did I bring on that was garbage?
TJ Hooker.
God, was that Mel. Garbage.
Was that Mel?
Mm. That was Mel.
That was a Mel ep.
Well, I don't know why I got your name in that.
TJ Hooker, you're the best.
So next season...
Well, that leads into today too.
So merch will be going out to Will and Kat, our aquatic... Mistress of the Deep, Duchess of the Deep.
And again, because we go above and beyond this podcast, I will take 2 flights and deliver Will's merch truly for that and then fly straight back to Australia.
That's awesome.
There will be some merch.
And the Queen of Wet Elbows.
Straight to you. Now, do you guys want to jump into some fast facts for this episode? Do you
want
to get going? Because we just said TJ Hooker our and first we're episode. About to do another episode with the star of TJ Hooker.
The show we're doing today is Boston Legal. It aired from 2004 to 2008, had 5 seasons with 101 episodes.
6 seasons and a movie.
Overall on IMDb, Boston Legal has an 8.5. And the pilot episode, titled Head Cases, has an 8.0.
Don't look at me like that because both you boys chickened out to say something.
No, we didn't chicken out.
I was about to... No, it doesn't matter. What did you even say?
She said...
That's what I thought. I thought she said 6 seasons and a movie. 6 seasons and a movie.
Sober boobies.
6 seasons and a movie, baby. Yeah.
Can you?
Well, I make you want to fuck, baby? Yeah.
Who says that?
That's my Austin Powers.
Who's that?
That's my Austin Powers.
Who?
Yeah, ready? Oh, do you want to fuck on the table, baby? Yeah.
I've never heard of this. What's this? What's this guy?
I would like to fuck on the table.
Is that Austin Flowers
I'm
too?
I'm very evil.
Who's he?
Are you saluting me right now?
What was that?
Do you want to fuck me on?
What are you?
Let's fuck in the airbase, baby. Yeah.
I wish I could see how much you're putting your body into this.
Is this Ogden? Is this Ogden too?
This is Ogden the third.
Whoa! And yeah. these are you've made these characters.
I like silver.
What's that?
Look at me eat my skin.
Who are you doing there?
What's the lotion on its skin?
Hannibal's.
Yeah.
Do I make you want to fuck me? Yeah.
Who's that?
That's Austin Powers, dude.
And he's you've made him.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
What's his story?
I can really drop in and out of that impression, by the way, so if you ever want to talk to...
What's his name again?
Austin Powers.
Why is he called that?
That's his name.
Because I'm Shagalicious, yeah.
I don't trust
him.
It's
the way that Cal puts his entire body into like that impression that I love so much.
Mm.
What are you?
Sorry, are you talking to me or?
No, I'm just.
Are you talking to Austin?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's the question, Mark? Didn't you want to have sex?
Did he have sex with things?
Mark, again, you said, does he have sex with? Are you talking to me or are you talking to Austin?
I'd like you to.
Because if you're talking to Austin, say, do you have sex with things? And then I'll. But you're just sort of confusing me.
Yeah, it's confusing me too.
It's almost like you're talking to me in the third person, but not.
I'm confused. I'm going to speak to myself in the third person. Does that help?
I don't feel safe. So when I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Mark like this? Does Mark know who Ogden is?
This Mark is a groovy cat, baby.
He says he's Ogden. He's some Ogden guy. I don't know. I've never heard of this stuff before.
Mark, do I make you want to get naked, baby? Yeah.
What's his name again?
Austin Powers.
And he's like, you're set on that name. Because I think Ogden Puddle is actually pretty good.
Ogden Puddle's pretty cool.
Yeah, like if you were like, we could like make like a little.
Do you want to fuck Ogden Puddle, baby? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like Ogden Puddle a lot. I do want to fuck Ogden Puddle. Is that what he's, is that his?
He's done that. But so the reason that he shakes is his arch nemesis in one of his movies found a magic lamp. And got three wishes.
Oh, no, I know. I've seen this.
Yeah, so he wished cerebral palsy on him three times.
Yeah.
So he has triple cerebral palsy?
Do I make you want to have sex with me? Come on, baby. Yeah.
That's some good stuff. That's one of my top 10 organs I've seen
this week. And for my third wish, cerebral palsy on organ puddles.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Yeah.
I love it.
So did we do fast facts? We did. Okay, great.
Should we discuss why this show is special to me? Or why I picked it? I mean,
you can take over from here, Cassie, because-
I want someone to ask me the question.
Cassie, you've brought us an episode today, an episode titled Boston Legal. And you have talked about this quite a bit on the podcast in the past. Like you quite often mention Boston Legal as one of your go-to shows. Now, why is this a special show to you?
It's one of my comfort shows. I think I've watched every episode probably about 5 times. I tend to watch it every few years. I watched it when it was airing, when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I love it very much. And yeah, Alan Shaw was, and I've said this on the podcast before, it was a huge sexual awakening for me.
Who?
Alan Shaw.
Ultron.
Trying to think about his character.
Ultron.
James Spader's character.
James Spader.
Yeah.
Is his name Alan Shaw?
Yeah.
You can't give me character names. We're into Ultron,
the voice of Ultron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're into season 6 now. By now you should have known I don't know people's names.
Okay, well, James Spader's character in this was a sexual awakening for me then. Still now probably my dream man.
Okay, now I'm going to say something right now.
Because he's sassy?
Yeah. And he's hot. He's so hot. And he like wants to do the right thing, but he does it in his own way. And also I think we'd just be beautiful together.
Yeah. Now I'm going to say something here that might put you on edge. It might shock you. But did you ever consider having a comfort show that wasn't dog shit?
Did you really hate it?
I did not like this at all.
I love this show.
I mean, we're going to do it. We're going to go scene by scene. We're going to talk a lot about this episode, but I cannot for the life of me imagine enjoying this show.
I'm not religious, and there are...
Well, I am, so...
I know. There are
things... Not the religion you think, though.
There are things that...
Church of Rumpel.
That's a good
we're
one.
We're aware, okay?
Surprisingly growing.
Yeah,
There's a few things that I hold in religious regard. One of them is the song Alfie by Burt Bacharach. And there's a scene in Boston Legal, which is like my second tier of religion. Mm-hmm. And then my third tier is a book that's right there called Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too.
Oh, I like Charlie Bit Me.
Bit my finger, but yeah.
No, it's Charlie Bit Me. That's kind of my thing. Like I like to just like, I'll get the boys around. We'll get a six pack. And we'll just jam out to Charlie Bit Me for a couple of hours.
Yeah, like, I do love those parties. We all get together and we just watch like, you know, early 2000s memes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just early internet shit, you know, and just be like, man, it was funnier then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're like, this is the reason that this Charlie Bit Me, I'm talking about, the reason why this kind of stuff is so good is this isn't that snowflake woke shit.
Absolutely.
That we have to deal with these days. Like Charlie Bit Me, like when I'm watching Charlie Bit Me, all of a sudden I'm not thinking about, but when Charlie Bit Me is on, I'm not sitting there going like, oh, equality. I'm just looking at one boy eat another boy's finger.
I got something to say.
Okay.
Last year I went to a wedding. You went too, but you ghosted after the ceremony. So you are a little ghost.
Yeah.
After the wedding, we all went back to this Airbnb that we're sharing.
I see myself as a king boo.
How long into this story is it going to take till we get to Charlie Bit Me?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about... We go back to this Airbnb and you should beep this name because I'm about to say someone's name.
Let me get to the censor button.
Ready? Okay. I'm about to say someone's name. Made us watch Peanut Butter Baby like 15 times on the big screen.
He's good. I like.
So that's probably his religion.
Yeah, Charlie Bit Me.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well. So. Just. I don't think she might not be aware of Charlie Bit Me, or maybe it went over her head. So Charlie Bit Me.
Charlie Bit My Finger.
It's hilarious because they're two brothers. I'm assuming. I think they're brothers.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think they are brothers.
Yeah. You don't think they
no,
are?
No, I do.
No, okay. Yeah.
Like
when
I watch it, I'm like, at first I see the big one.
That's the first mystery.
I see the big one. I'm like, okay.
And it's like, who's this gummy child on his lap? And then you're like, oh, that's a bit weird. No, wait, they're brothers.
I'm like, okay, I can see what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think I get this video. And then Charlie's on his lap.
And he's...
You never find out the big one's name.
It's not important.
In the whole video, it doesn't even come up.
Yeah, but so he's got his finger in Charlie's mouth.
This is ridiculous content.
Yeah. What do you... The Charlie Bit Me. It is ridiculous content.
You know what? I forgot we were recording.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about this.
You thought we just wanted to discuss our religions. Yeah, and what is your religion?
No, shut the fuck. We're not done. Okay. So this... Okay, so setting the scene, okay?
Yeah.
We open on...
Potential brothers. Potential brothers. Confirmed brothers, I think.
Listen.
Yeah.
You don't sit that close and have that kind of brotherly bond. That kind of chemistry is
it's tough to accomplish the finger in the mouth unless you're related. Other mums would get involved.
Yeah.
Other dads would disapprove.
It's like, maybe Daniel Day-Lewis could come in.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was like Daniel Day-Lewis and like, I don't know, like your Corey Feldman.
You bite my finger.
Yeah, if they were together on a screen and they were like, we're brothers, I'd be like, okay, you don't even have to fucking say it. Yeah. I can just tell because you guys are such good actors.
Yeah.
But Charlie Bit Me, this kid is maximum 5 years old.
Yeah. He's young. I'm like, he's young. Do you remember?
I know Charlie bit my finger.
And the way I'm looking
not really
at
getting
it,
that vibe.
I'm like, I'm like, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I could be wrong.
No, go off.
But I don't think that at 5 years old, you have the sense memory.
Yeah.
And you know, the emotional intelligence and the craft
fierce
to be able to just like serve the audience brothership.
Yeah.
You know, a brotherhood between two young boys. I think that's...
And also I might be jumping ahead.
Yeah.
What, did he just pull a name out of his hat? Like he had a name ready to go.
You can't teach kids names, okay?
that of kids that aren't related to them. They forget.
Yeah. Now, I don't know names.
No.
And that's because
I know every time
I'm
you
a kid
show
at heart.
Up, you reintroduce yourself yeah. to me. It's uncomfortable.
Well, it's actually quite interesting. He color codes people. See, yeah. I'm blue.
What color am I?
You don't want to hear.
It's brown.
It's brown.
Shit brown.
It's shit brown.
It's shit brown. Yeah. With a bit of yellow in there.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's a bit crusty, yeah. sandy.
So no, sorry, we got off track. So okay, so we open on
yeah.
a young boy.
No.
Two young boys.
Two young boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep doing this.
The camera.
I'm gonna go home.
The camera. Tripod, perhaps.
Maybe. It looks it's a bit
handheld.
Shaky.
It could be handheld. Yeah. So older, dare I say, brother. Yeah. Okay. He
and he does dare.
He puts his finger in the younger brother's mouth.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to listen to you.
Cassie, he's laughing because he knows what's coming. Okay?
I can see it. Let me close. I'm sorry. Can you turn my mic off?
Yeah.
Just turn it off because I can't.
He's back on because, okay, so he puts the finger.
Which, yeah, right. I believe it's his pointer.
I think it's his pointer.
Yeah, I believe it's his pointer yeah. of his left hand. I guess it doesn't matter, but it might matter. It matters to me.
So, and I kind of think that, like, I'm looking at it. I'm like,
I get the feeling he's done this before.
I think he's done it before.
Yeah,
when I'm watching yeah, it, I'm like, okay, this isn't the first time this has happened. You know? But. And so, and they were filming it as well. So like, it's not like they came in the room and like, yeah. you know, and like he was like, hey, I'm gonna try something for the first time. Like the parents knew what they were getting into.
It's not like someone who happens to film two sharks mating, which is like
yeah.
very rare footage. Yeah. Although I would say just as spectacular.
Yeah. So he's put his finger in and at this point, I'm telling you,
I'm just going to get going again.
We don't know his name's Charlie. We know he's a kid.
Yeah.
We
definitely.
Assume he's a kid.
You can see it.
Well, no, he could be like the kid in Orphan.
Yeah. Or we could be looking at some Hezbollah type situation.
That's
here.
True. Could be a Hezbollah situation. It could
be a Hezbollah. Or an Andy Milonakis, which is like an older Hezbollah.
I'll tell you why it's
That's
not.
True.
Yeah. Why is it not?
Because, you know, in COVID, where everyone came out of the woodworks to be like, here's some content.
Yeah.
The older kid.
What are you talking about?
She hasn't seen it, dude. She has not seen it.
She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Fuck you.
What older kid? There's two kids.
The older one.
Okay, yeah, I do remember the older one. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, the one whose finger got bitten.
What? We didn't even get there yet.
Sorry with the spoilers. Me
no,
the
I don't.
Spoilers.
I don't even want to say it anymore. Honestly, I don't want to fucking say it.
I'm so
because you've
sorry,
ruined it
guys.
For me.
I'm sorry, guys. Look, Cal's gone from complete laughing to looking like he's holding back tears.
No, it's like, I don't know. It's like, when you get a thing going.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's like a rhythm.
It's like, oh, maybe. Yeah.
It's like jazz.
Oh, you've just met the boy. Well, maybe we should just fucking announce Bruce Willis is dead in that scene. We'll just do it in that scene.
You show the lock before the key. Yeah. You show the lock. Before the key.
Hey, Bruce Willis, my kid's having issues. Oh, I'm dead all along. That's a good fucking movie, isn't it?
Wait,
let's not even have the two characters
wait,
meet.
Wait, what movie is that?
Let's just fucking tell them from this first
Moana.
Scene.
Oh, Moana. Right.
Cassie, you were talking about Boston Legal.
Yep.
Now, you like this show.
Love. Like, means the world to me.
Okay.
Makes me understand it makes me feel like everything makes sense. I'm not doing a bit right now. That's
now,
true.
I'm going to throw the question to the K-man. You ever seen Boston Legal?
Never.
No, I never seen it either.
No, I'd never seen it.
It was like, I feel like my parents watched it back in the day. Like it was a
Mel,
show.
Mel had watched.
Separately,
I think,
my parents did.
Yeah, I watched it with my parents.
Mel watched it.
I believe so. Most of it. Or maybe all of it.
Let's jump in. Let's start talking about the pilot episode of Boston Legal. We open on a boardroom. And I'm like, are we spelling this B-O-R-E-D?
Fuck you. It was so good. This episode was great.
Dude.
I'm guessing Kale's not on my side.
What?
Are you on my side?
Oh, what's up, Cassie? R-E-D, implying that he was not enjoying himself.
Yeah. So we meet a couple of characters
sorry,
here.
That's great. That's great.
The characters we meet, and we're going to have to give some names here. Like we'll make up names
yeah,
for them.
Yeah, I know you will. Don't worry.
So first character we see, blonde-haired woman.
Yes. Mm.
Second character we see, reddish, ambery hair woman.
Tara.
we see...
Oh, from Ali G's in the house.
Now, that's the thing about this show, this episode.
So we'll call her our Julie.
Yeah, well, she's not my Julie.
No, I know, but she tries to get in between. Look, what do you want from me? What should I call her from that movie? What's the reference?
Let's just call her Ali G.
Nice.
So Ali G, blonde girl, we'll call her...
Blonde girl.
Blonde girl, that works for me. Yeah. There's a couple of other people in this scene. We first
numerous meet... Numerous old men.
We meet a lot of old men.
Hotties.
They kind of camera pan down the table. There was... John Michael Higgins was in this scene.
Who's
but,
that?
But he wasn't... He's in like Best in Show. He's in a lot of stuff. But he didn't have a single line in this episode, which was interesting to me. Maybe he comes back later on.
I'm Googling him.
We also see hunky muscle man.
Ken.
Brad. Ken. But yeah, they call him
Ken.
Well, they call him Buzz Lightyear.
Okay.
That's good too.
We'll call him Ken. and we also and so they're about the characters we see at this point. Now, James Spader walks in.
Ultron.
Ultron walks in. Ultron walks in.
I wish he'd walk into my vagina.
Did you know he's the voice of Ultron?
What is Ultron?
I mean,
What is Ultron? Okay, tell me a 5-minute story about what Ultron is.
Ultron.
Can we use a 5-minute story to tell anything?
No.
Or does it have to be about Ultron?
I want to hear Ultron.
Okay.
Okay. He is the AI creation of Tony Stark in the Avengers movie Age of Ultron. But he, you know, takes in the information of the whole world and decides and deems that they're not worthy and that he should just wipe them out for a better world. And turns against the Avengers, but he's voiced by the man you love.
He has such a sexy voice, too.
And you will want to fuck that robot.
Yeah.
Real talk, no cap, trim the fat.
For real.
Yes, queen.
Even at the age that he is now and how badly James Spader has aged, I'd go there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so we meet a lot of characters. We pan over a lot of characters, and it's that kind of thing where you're like, that's a main character, that's a main character, that's a main character. Why is that guy not getting any lines?
Yeah, not a main character, by the way.
Interesting. Maybe he just was like starting out at this point, an old start out, though. We also see Lake Bell in this scene as well, which I was like, weird. Because
this is in the show for a few seasons.
But she feels too young now to have been in this show.
Very good point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Same with the one that plays Blonde Girl seems to have never aged. Yeah. I see her in things now. I'm like, oh, you're the same age. Whereas fucking James Spader and William Shatner are just aging at an extreme rate.
Yeah. Is Lake Bell the one that's dating Spader?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know. I don't know. What was her character's name?
Bit of an indie darling.
What else is she in? That you're surprised that she looks
she's
the way she does?
She's like around still. You know what I mean? Like she's always in shows now and she's still playing like a late, like a 30-year-old.
Right. I feel like she wrote and starred in her own movie too.
Yeah, that was the Babadook.
Yes.
She was the Babadook.
She was the Babadook.
Yeah.
Great role.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name in the show.
It's like Hamlet, the Babadook. They're the roles you want to play. Now, so we meet... Meet a lot of characters. James Spader saunters in. He's got he walks in the room like he owns the place. Okay.
Yeah. Can I just say another fun thing about the show is you get to see a lot of actors starting out.
There's a lot of people in this. That's what I was going to say before.
Well, in every case has a person. Yeah. One of the ones that is in an episode that really, really I loved was a young Connor Roy from Succession, and he has like two lines.
Okay. Well, I mean, Ferris Bueller. What are we doing here?
Yeah, no, but he has two lines in a Boston Legal episode, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, but he didn't start out in Boston Legal. He's in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, but two lines? I'm saying he must have been small enough that they put him in to have two lines in an episode.
Yeah.
That's extra shit.
Yeah, I suppose. Dang. I suppose. I think he was doing them a favor. He's like, yeah, James Spader. Because they were both 80s stars. I reckon that's all it was. It was like, he was like, hey, do you want to come in and like, you know,
do they interact?
He's gone. He goes, please, my show's bombing.
I need it.
Oh, everyone hates it. Please come in.
It is when they were about to cancel it.
And then he's like, he comes in and he's like, I'll give you two lines. He's like, oh, thank
you. Need some of that Bueller spice?
Yeah. Oh, do you want me to kiss your toes? No, I didn't ask for that. I'll just do the two lines. Oh, please.
That's how Succession went for him. I'm serious. They really wanted him to audition for Succession. He wasn't into it. And then they came to his house so he could audition from his home.
Yeah. And you're saying this guy only gets two lines in Boston Legal.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So
that's what I'm saying.
John Spader walks right in.
Yeah. Ultron Spader.
Ultron.
You're just trying to upset me and I'm not going to buy into it.
He comes in and he only sits in Ken's seat.
Yeah.
Ken turns around. He's like, what the fuck, buddy? This is actually where I'm sitting. And he says, what does he say, Cassie? There's a line that goes through this whole episode.
That's
and
right.
He says,
he's like, Cassie.
He's like, do we make a big deal in this place?
I didn't realize we
I didn't realize we made a big deal about seats. I saw that your stuff was there and I moved it to a less desirable seat.
Yeah. And we're like,
that's line for line.
Line for line. And we're like, oh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
Bit so, so we're dealing with a bit of a bad boy here.
Yeah, this guy knows. This guy Fox.
This guy Fox. Enter. What's the William Shatner?
William Shatner.
William Shatner comes in. He's the head of the lawyer crew.
Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk. He's manning this ship as well. Mm-hmm. And he walks in. There's a couple of like,
because the law firm is called Crane, Poole and Schmidt, and he is
Crane.
Denny Crane.
Denny Crane. So he's going, he goes in, he's kind of commanding the room. He's got a chaotic energy to him. Some of the people aren't into it. The scene keeps going. People don't enjoy his style until the dad of 10 Things I Hate About You comes in and he's pantsless.
Fuck, we are all
he's
over
got,
the place.
He's got no pants. He walks in, you see his butt.
And you love a bare butt.
I got to say, a opening scene bare
wow.
butt.
I'm we like, haven't had that since This Is Us.
That's true.
That's easily 3 points to his yeah. overall score yeah, right yeah. there.
And he is, so again, it's Crane, Poole and Schmidt. This is Poole.
Poole. And Poole has had a mental breakdown, they say, and he's got to get out of there. Yeah. So he gets out of there.
Because he's walked in, shirt all done up and everything, but completely pantsless.
Yeah.
Dick is swinging.
Now.
But he's got clients.
Yeah.
And his clients have to go to someone else and to Blonde Girl, who I'm guessing is his second in command.
Yeah.
Or like works under him but is a lawyer herself.
Yeah.
So she gets given his client list and we've kind of set up the opening
Denny
scene.
Has a good line.
Denny's like,
what was his line?
Can you handle it, toots, or something?
No. He goes, just get better and we'll see you soon. Then he turns around and he says, demagnetize his pass.
Yeah.
I know when a man's lost it.
Yeah. So, you know, like just like a mean man. So we instantly were
Denny's
like,
a bit cutthroat, isn't he?
Yeah, we're like, this is a mean
he
man.
He is, but he's also losing his mind.
He's been
stage.
In the game too long himself. And maybe he knows when someone's lost it because he's lost it in the void of space when he was a captain of a spaceship.
Now, just for the audience at home, if you're worried, you're sitting here and you're going, okay, this show seems a bit dark.
Mm.
We haven't mentioned that in the background of every scene, this song's playing. Bong, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, woohoo! He goes, bow, bow, bum, bow, bow, bow. All right. Bow, bow, bum, bow, bum, bow.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, wait, really?
Yes.
Now, the good thing about that song.
Well, they discuss in the show in a meta way of whether it's a comedy or a drama.
And it never gets old. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't get old because they make an interesting decision in this where, you know how a lot of shows have theme tunes where they'll go to the opening credits and there'll be like a song.
Roseanne.
And that will play for like 30 seconds. If it's bad, it will play for a minute. Now, Boston Legal, they said, hold on a second.
Give it 40.
What if we play this song the whole fucking episode?
Hey, baby, I'm grooving here.
Yeah. Let's just at the end of every scene, the way I want to end every single scene in a show is I have the same song play and I just kind of do a montage of characters reacting to stuff, like doing faces like, oh my Lord, what? And it will go back and forth.
I agree, Mark, it's a good show.
And then it will cut to another scene.
He loves it.
He does love it.
There was a bit in this episode.
That's explained too.
Yeah, there was a bit in this episode.
What, the background music?
Yes.
What do you mean it's explained?
There's a character and it's what he hears when he's at work.
Boo. So there's a bit, there's also a bit in this episode where someone says that two people do a bet against each other. And he says like, we'll get there when we get to the scene. But just while we're talking about the music, he goes like, I bet you this. And he says, make it double. And then the music kicks in and goes, bow, bow, bow. And then a voice
double
comes
time.
On and goes, double, double.
Dude, I did not notice any of this.
It's great.
Wild.
And Mark loves it.
It was wild. I couldn't believe
wow.
that they did that.
And it continues throughout the entire show?
Yeah, you know.
And then you find out that it's one guy is kind of...
There's just a guy in the walls.
Yeah,
playing
yeah.
bass.
Wall man. So
he's the real star of the show.
So now it's time. We've done this quick introduction. We've met a couple of the characters. Is this like James Spader's first day?
No.
No.
Like, why didn't he know Ken then?
Because Ken is
Ken's
visiting.
New. Yeah. Ken's new.
He He's supposed to be visiting, but then when...
Isn't Ken in like DC or something? Or like
he's a DC guy.
Yeah, when Paul has his like breakdown, they're like, you got to stay because we need someone to take care of Denny.
Now, can I ask a question? Why does no one have a Boston accent?
That's a good point.
So you don't have the answer?
No, I went to the building when I went to Boston.
Okay.
And I was standing there looking at it and someone said, yeah, look, it's so sad. And I didn't realize it's also the site of the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, shit. That's pretty grim.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I know he had dementia.
I'm like, yeah, I know. Mark hates this show.
Yeah. So
I know, right? They could have done at least three more seasons.
Yeah. They really could have.
But you say not, you don't say seasons. Like, I know they could have done at least three more. And they're like, whoa.
Hey, now. It's time to start talking law. It's time to start talking lawyers. It's time to go into a building that seemingly has no rules.
Yep.
It's got no time. Time doesn't exist in this building.
You can bomb outside of it.
No. Hey, now. This is an interesting episode for talking about it because there is a lot of different plot lines to this episode because there's a lot of different...
I think it's a great pilot.
There's a lot of different cases that we're about to take on.
There's three.
Yeah, I do love the classic cool lawyer show, you know, where it's just like no one seems to really have a boss except for like...
Well, but they kept pulling rank on each other in this episode.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't want to pull rank, but...
Well, one of them directly says... I'll rank you. That's Ken.
That was Ken.
Yeah,
Ken,
but then also that. Laurie says to Tara at one point, she's like, I don't want to pull rank, but.
Yeah.
How does he outrank him, by the way? Because he's he's filling the position of one of the guys that's named in the company?
Well, this is wrong too because Alan's a partner at this point and Brad isn't.
Because Ultron seems to be super tight with Denny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he is a partner.
He's a partner. So there's... No way he outranks him.
Yeah, it's confusing and it made no sense.
Yeah.
But it's a great show and no one cares.
Well, a lot of this show.
We're talking about the first episode, but not the whole show.
Alan's able to.
Who's Alan?
Ultron.
Thank you.
Ultron, right.
Ultron's able to behave the way he does because of his relationship with Denny.
Yeah.
And he's a partner.
He is a partner as well,
and they've gone with Denny for that name.
Denny Crane.
Not Danny. They've gone Denny.
And his son, who's played by...
Why not just call him Kirk?
Yeah, that's
See, this is
so
why name
confused.
Tags are such a big thing and why we're changing the game.
Yeah, you got to have name tags.
His son, who's played by Freddie Prinze Jr., is Donnie Crane.
Freddie Prinze is in this show?
Yeah, he plays Denny's son.
I wish he was in this episode.
He's in the next episode.
What?
Big WWE writer, Freddie Prinze.
Yeah.
Really?
He does, he does a podcast on wrestling as well, if you want to... listen to a different podcast.
If you want to get wet.
There's a lot of stuff happening in this episode. Now the way that this law firm works, from what I've gathered from the pilot episode, is if you want a lawyer, you walk into the foyer of the law firm and say, "Why can I get a lawyer? What's going on? No. I need a lawyer."
Well, it's a two-step process. First,
that's every episode.
First, you check your bank account for your privilege.
Yeah.
And once you've confirmed your privilege via your bank account size, then you walk in and then you just say, "What the fuck?"
Well, that wasn't a case for Little Orphan Annie.
No, okay. So our first case.
They
ding,
had
ding,
cash.
Ding,
they
ding.
Because remember, the bet was around who had to pay for the fees.
Right, right.
No, you just walk into there. There's no security in this building. You say,
"Yeah."
No, but it's every episode. Someone's like, "I would like a lawyer." And often they have guns.
And you know they're going up to like the 20th floor of this massive building.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very high up.
So you walk in, our first case walks in and she goes, excuse me, I need a lawyer. And then we pan out and we see next to her, we have a girl dressed as Little Orphan Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Now this girl, and it's a little black girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be getting into that this episode. That
they really called the shot on the timeline of real life.
They did. Now the mum is here and she's saying, I need to talk to a lawyer. My daughter auditioned to become the new Annie on Broadway. Mm. Not Broadway, it'd be somewhere in Boston, someone.
Yeah.
My daughter was going to be the new Annie at Harvard Yard. And
at the cheese bar.
And
that was a bit Swedish chef.
Harvard Yard.
That's at the cheese bar.
That was very Australian.
No, but
go to the cheese bar.
Boston, I swear, is a closer accent. Like the New England accent is closer to Australian than it is American.
Boston.
park the car in Harvard Yard.
Yeah.
Park the car.
Yeah, the cheese bar. Yeah.
Now, this lady's like, my daughter.
Tom Brady.
My daughter auditioned to be Annie.
Go Pats.
So she's annoyed because her daughter auditioned to become Annie, got through to like a final round, and then they picked someone else. And she somehow got her hands on producer notes that basically said that she was never actually being considered to be Annie.
Well, the producer notes said that she was the best. Which led her to decide that she was not picked because she was black.
Okay. And the person who is being given this case is blonde lady? No. No, it's Lake Bell. Lake Bell is given this case and and she goes to Ken for help.
Oh, yeah.
So her and Ken.
My dad has been racially profiled.
Oh, and
yeah.
And
yeah.
Let me, there's also another bit here where Ken and Lake Bell are standing close to each other, and this is like just after the kids yelled in the room to get a lawyer, where James Spader looks at them and goes, "Oh no. These guys have slept together."
No, he doesn't say it like that. He just goes, "Oh, you guys have had sex."
Yeah, and everyone in the office
goes, "You
love
how matter of fact he is, don't you?"
I love him.
Boy, let's butcher his lines every time.
So he goes,
"Just leave my boy alone."
Ah, oh, so this guy, this fucking guy, he's like yelling at, what's he doing? There's two people, and he tells everyone in the office, he's told everyone in the office that these two people have had sex. And they're like, they look down the camera, and the music goes,
"Ooh, yeah."
Yeah, and then that scene.
Mm, boom, boom.
That scene ends.
Mm, boom, boom.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm, dun, dun, dun.
What do we want to do? Do we want to
kill ourselves?
Do we want to do plots?
Dude, I'm dead.
Or do we want to do chronological? Because
plots. I think plots is easier.
All right. So we'll go through the curious case of the Annie orphan.
Mm.
It is a bit difficult. This is a hard episode to do because Ken, so much happens.
Ken pulls rank on Ultron.
Ken pulls rank.
That's
on
where
Ultron.
We start.
So he's like, "I've got a client for you in your office."
Yeah. And he goes, "I outrank you. So you're doing it." And then pretty much he goes in and he meets the two of them.
Yeah.
And he says, "I don't do comedies or some shit."
Which
he
is,
says,
again, a meta reference. He and says she goes, "Annie is a drama."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he seems to like the kid.
Well,
he does.
The kid's great. The kid's wearing an Annie wig.
Yeah, and she clearly doesn't care.
Is dynamic. I think she is great.
Yeah.
No, so she. Not since Charlie have I seen a kid that shone so bright.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a bit intrigued by the whole thing, but he comes out and he thinks he's got Brad over on one. He's like, "Well, they don't have money, so I guess because you've assigned me the case, you have to explain the legal fees." And he goes, "I'll pay the legal fees." And then he goes, but if I was a betting man, you win, I pay, you lose, you pay. And then Alan, because he cannot, and this is a big thing, you can't make a bet on a case as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly almost getting disbarred for this.
Now, there's a big thing going on beneath the surface between these two that has not been said yet in the show.
They're both boinking Lake Bell.
They're both boinking Lake Bell.
I thought Lake Bell was the blonde. No.
No, no.
But also, no, it's just an alpha type shit where two men walk into a room and like you guys every episode where you circle each other and growl and I just have to kind of go about my life until you're done.
I don't growl. I sniff his ass and I don't know what he does
and
back
I
there.
And I growl because I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just like two guys being like, "I'm the biggest boy here."
So you wouldn't say that she's the heart of it though, their conflict?
No, I think it's bigger than Lake Bell.
Okay.
But this is a scene where they make the bet. He says, if you win the case, I'll pay for it. If you lose the case, you have to pay for it. And then he says, are you willing to do that bet? James Spader goes, "Why don't we double it?" And what does the song do?
Double. Is this real?
This
how did I fucking miss it every single time?
It happens in this episode.
I was probably playing Paper Mario.
Yeah, so that happens in this episode.
That's playing solitaire. So that's also because we've seen this episode a trillion times.
Mel was playing Tetris.
Hmm.
Now it's time to go straight to court. Literally on the same day, we're going straight to court.
Always happens.
So now we're in court.
They go straight to court. There's the judge is.
But I'm sorry, it's a TV show. What do you want them to do? Sit around, do research, and you just watch?
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds fucking amazing.
Okay.
No, my issue. No, okay. You can say, "Oh, it's just a show," but it's set in reality, and like we in this one episode, like they set parameters in this episode as well. That's my issue. Like, they could have just made it seem like time did pass, but they intentionally didn't do that in this episode. Like, for example, we'll get to it in a little bit, but we have also a ticking time bomb in another one of the cases, whereas a lady's like, I have to be out of state by Monday.
Yeah.
And she has two court dates
and
in this
one. And the timeline
episode.
Seems...
Yeah, but that's also because Edwin Poole missed her first one.
No, but like if it's all happening at the same time though, then that means that woman with, because she's already a client, so her dates were already set. So that's a little bit more believable.
Yeah.
But the whole Annie thing is happening supposedly at the exact same time as this.
Yeah.
So that means that woman walked in, said, I need a lawyer. And they're like, great, we've got an opening for Tuesday in court.
Yeah.
You're in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that TV doesn't work like real life.
Straight away, we're going straight to court.
The line blurs for me.
Yeah.
So I get confused.
Yeah. And I gather you guys have only been watching Charlie Bit Me on a loop and that did.
Hold on, I'm passing out.
It's all right. Cassie, guys. Oh. Yeah, no, stay with us. Stay with
tell
us.
Tell me
now.
To breathe. Tell me to breathe.
Breathe in and out, real deep. Real dream. Think of something not funny. Think of something not funny.
No, I'm going to think about Charlie. No, Charlie.
It hurts, Charlie.
Oh, fuck.
Again, I haven't seen it. I just assume that's what he says.
Holy shit.
Whoa, I'm blacking out.
Sorry, but you know you can't do that.
Do
to
you
want to
fuck me, baby?
Is that Charlie Bit Me?
He's back.
Hey, everybody, it's me,
Ogden Puddle.
Ogden Puddles, yeah.
He's good. He's one of my favorites.
It's not about the size; it's how you use your penis. Yeah,
Ogden.
Classic Ogden.
I don't think that's what
Charlie
was.
Charlie Bit Me.
Fuck that shit!
I think I blacked
so
out.
Good. It's so good. Like,
what are we talking about?
We keep causing Kayla to dissociate.
James Spade is taking on the case. They're paying for the court dates and stuff because they've got a bet going on. So they go to court. James Spade is in the room.
Yep.
The defense, their case is pretty strong. Their case goes as follows. The defense says, hey.
We're not racist.
Buddy, we're not racist, but like we're producers of a musical.
We reserve the right to actually pick who we cast.
We have the creative decision in this.
And the judge is a lady.
Oh yeah.
And if you're wondering if Alan Boynk's there, of course.
An absolute 10 of a judge.
Oh, a wooga.
So who?
Ogden.
Ultron.
Does he boink her?
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
Or like in this episode.
So that's confusing to me because where I am right now, that he's in love with the lake woman.
He likes lakes.
The lady of the lake. Mm.
That's their case. Their case is no, we can cast anyone for any role. You don't have creative control over us.
So the judge goes, the only possible way that we can set things right is for me to have a live performance from both girls, let's say in 3 days or tomorrow even.
I think it is tomorrow.
We've got time.
Yeah.
That's when the sun comes out. They're,
she's like,
just a court date in Boston.
She's like, how does 15 minutes from now work? And they're like,
how about we take a quick lunch? Yeah. You fly her here.
We can get this little kid in. And then they're like, hey, hold on, judge. We can't just get this kid in. And she's like, well, if this kid's willing to do 6 shows a night.
In front of 3,000 people.
I'm pretty sure this kid can sing in front of me.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, cool.
I mean, great way to get a free show.
Yeah. She's an Annie fan.
Tomorrow.
Now, between this, we're really jumping all over the place because this is happening into
scenes. But we've established that we're focusing on the Annie angle right now.
Now,
unfortunately,
we're
the Annie angle does intersect with other stories.
Yeah, but there's nothing we could have done about that.
No, there's no thing. There's not a single thing we could have done.
So now we are. James Spader goes out and he gets drinks with his boss William Shatner. They talk about something that we will touch on later.
They're flamingos.
We will touch on later. He says to James Spader,
"That's how they describe their friendship."
Are you ever scared? Like, are you scared? And why am I saying James? He talks to
William Shatner.
William Shatner, and he says, "Are you scared?" And William Shatner goes, "Oh, I'm not scared." And us as we don't know what's going on, but don't worry, we'll get you there. We'll catch you up.
But he's also saying shit to him, like Shatner's saying to him, you know, that's your problem. You're always trying to make sense of everything. Nothing makes sense.
So their ongoing kind of thing is that they're best friends, but they have very different ideological views on the world.
That's right. Crazy.
That's weird.
This is a good show.
It is. It's a show fundamentally about the friendship between two men.
Nice. Yeah.
And I think that's really, really beautiful.
I'm in.
Yeah. I actually saw a video about a friendship between two men. Nice.
Two guys, a girl?
No. Okay,
no,
sorry.
Look, it's about two young boys.
They're pretty young.
Chuck and Steve?
If I'm being honest.
Don't. Don't. Wait. Hold on.
What are these?
Are they brothers?
I think they're I'm not doing a bit here, but yes, I do think they're brothers.
Yeah, of course. Okay. You go with your finger in the mouth of the brother.
He absolutely puts his finger in the other one's mouth.
Not to cut you guys off, although I'm desperate to. Yeah, Alan and Denny, their friendship is kind of the main point of the show. And it ends each episode with them sitting out on the balcony having a cigar. But there's...
Give Charlie a cigar? He's a baby!
But you can picture it because he thinks it's a finger.
Imagine that. Oh, shit. Imagine this. Shut up, Cassie. Imagine this. Okay, so what we...
No, Cassie, just
what
do be quiet for
what
a second.
What we do, okay?
Shut up.
Just a
what
second.
We, shut up. So what we do is, okay, you just and me, sec. You and me, we start producing, you know, cigar cutters?
Yes!
We start making ones with little Charlie's faces. And you put your cigar in and you chop it with a Charlie. We call it a Charlie Chopper.
Ah, yes. And we could do it with all... Why stop there, dude? Yeah. The slap chop? Move over.
Yeah, the Charlie Chop.
The Charlie Chop,
these little teeth. We'll do a whole set of knives that you just grab onto a child and it's just like his teeth cut it. His teeth cut everything.
And it comes with, you know, it's like you pull the string. And
yeah.
No, Charlie. Yeah.
Charlie bit me.
Have you seen it?
No, we've established I've never
You've
seen
it. You've never seen it? But, oh. Trust me, do yourself a favor and look it up after this. You are going to fucking shit yourself.
The room is spinning.
It is so funny.
He's about to associate again. You got to stop.
No, okay, I'm good.
So as I said earlier in the episode, I have three tiers of religion. The first one is Alfie by Burt Bacharach. The second one is Denny and Alan's friendship. The third one is a book called Everyone's an Alien.
If you're an alien too. I think it says if. I'm looking at it. Shit, to double check. She doesn't fucking know.
She doesn't know shit.
She doesn't fucking know shit, dude. She hasn't seen
You know, I got Charlie. I got three tiers of religion as well.
There we go.
Charlie bit me.
Yeah, baby. Fuck.
Oh, that fucking kid's always biting.
If I can be earnest for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're out on the balcony. There's this one scene where...
Wait, you're going to have to specify because right now I'm...
Oh, I think she's talking about Boston
Legal.
Dude,
I'm literally picturing Charlie on the balcony.
Alan and Denny are out on the balcony.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. They're talking about God and... Alan's not religious and Denny says, if you don't believe in God, what do you believe? And he goes, I believe in friendship.
He's going to say it.
Yeah.
The friendship between two young boys.
I believe in Charlie biting a finger.
I honestly, no, I still can't believe that Charlie bit him. I still can't believe that.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Denny and James Spader have a chat. James Spader tells Denny, he's like, oh yeah, I don't think I'm going to win this case.
He's because, like, you need a rabbit.
Yeah. And you need a rabbit. And then he says, then at one point he says something about, which is weird. Denny says, oh, that little fat black kid. And yeah. I was like, oh, what?
So much of this show would never exist today.
I was just confused because up until that point.
He says, you're going to go to court and fight. For some little black kid.
Little fat black kid.
And I didn't think the kid was that fat well.
No, I didn't think so either. She was chubby.
Yeah.
But who says Annie can't be chubby? And that's the point of this episode.
So we go back to court.
I guess orphans are technically not all that chubby.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. So where's she getting the food from?
Yeah.
We go back
We're
going to
get
court.
Some hate from fat orphans now.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. We already do.
Yeah.
Those fat orphans are always emailing.
I blocked them from our email address.
Yeah. I blocked them from... You know,
I just made it too complicated, so their little fat fingers can't actually type.
Yeah, and we put some filters on. So
sorry,
like,
you
if,
can't say that
if your email
like
address
fingers, it just gets me going. It really does. No, it's a raw nerve at this point.
But if your email address is donuts@deadparents.com, yeah, like you will not get through. We have put in the filters.
Yeah.
So we're in the courtroom for the second time in the Little Orphan Annie case.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's not looking good. Orphan Annie, Black Annie, sings a song. By the way, we do have a Black Annie now. So like,
that's what I'm saying. The show predicted the timeline of real life.
Its thing.
Who's the Black Annie?
I don't know. They made an Annie film, and Annie was black. Annie's just finished singing. The judge is like, I've just done a weird American Idol.
I've forced this upon these children.
All of you people in here, I am wasting all of your time.
Yeah.
And then she goes, listen.
You were both good.
You were both real. We don't get to see the first Annie. Presumably she smashed it. But she says, listen, you were both really good. But I can't say one of you was that much better than the other. So in this case, I must say. And then James Spader breaks in and he's like, hold up. How you can't be doing this. Don't we have the 15th Amendment? Don't we have the blah, 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 blah,
so many amendments.
And then just as he...
Oh, we missed a quick scene just that relates to this, is he's talking to Alan. Alan and Denny are talking in the bar, Denny, and he says...
Something about a duck. Rabbit?
Yeah, no, he says, are you going to win? And he goes, no, and I hate to lose a bet. And he's like, you have to pull a rabbit out of your hat.
We said that.
Yeah.
Did we?
It's okay.
I brushed over it like it meant nothing, but you're right. It does. It is a pretty important part. It pops up again.
So this is his rabbit out of a hole. This is his rabbit out of the hat. He's like, I'm just gonna jump in and I'm gonna pull up some amendments.
Works in court.
And he's like, I'm gonna interrupt the judge. I'm just gonna yell, but it's not really working until
hold up,
boom! The doors open. It's the Reverend Al Sharpton,
the actual Reverend Al Sharpton, who is in Boston Legal a ton.
Yeah, him and Kirk are tight.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, big time.
He walks on.
He was the one that gave him permission to say "fat black child." True story.
In fact, he insisted on it.
He said, brother, let me bless this upon you.
True equality means talking about their weight.
Yeah. So he came in and he starts spitting fire. He's like, I'm the motherfucking Al Sharpton. And then the judge is like, hey, wait a second. You absolutely have no authority here.
Bitch, shut the fuck up, Dre. What up? Yeah, tell them where you're from.
Dre does a verse, and then he's basically like, this goes so much deeper than this. Why can't we have a black Annie? Why it gotta be black though?
And he ties it in.
Why don't we have a black Superman? Why don't we have a black Spider-Man? Blah blah blah.
We have all those things now.
Yeah.
Do we have a black Spider-Man?
Yeah, Miles Morales.
Superman?
Soon.
Do we?
I think so. I thought they'd cast a new Superman movie and the actor, the lead, was African American.
Didn't know that.
Maybe not African American. Maybe he's an English. I don't know.
Yeah. Al Sharpton spits fire.
Yeah.
We basically end this scene with the judge being like, what? Cut to, not in the episode, but we are doing it. Cut straight to. We're in a room. We got some lawyers across one side of the desk. We got some lawyers across the other one. One of them is James Spader. He's sitting with the little orphan Annie.
He's talking
to the defense, and he's basically saying, hey guys, you want some controversy? Because you got some controversy.
Because when the rev gets involved,
You got controversy. And they're like, hey, we don't want none of this smoke. And
the rev says as well to Ultron as he's walking out, he's like, that's boom, rabbit or some shit.
Yeah, he's like, how's that for a rabbit, Denny Wenny? And then he walks out.
How's that be rabbit? And then it's like a whole 8 mile tie-in. It's pretty dope.
The producers of Annie go, hey, baby girl, we do not want any of this smoke. We do not want any of this controversy. I'll tell you what, how does the second understudy work? And then the mom's like, fucking, and she gets to do three shows. And she's like,
a month.
Yeah. And they're like, fuck it. We don't care. Case settled. Dong dong.
That's a win for Ultron.
Ultron wins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's cut to another fucking case. Case number two.
Dose.
A woman walks in.
That's two.
It's Jan from The Office.
It is Jan from The Office.
Melora Hardin.
Hasn't aged a day.
Known weirdo in real life.
She gets to the middle of the floor and she does what you do in any law firm. She goes, where's my lawyer? I need a lawyer.
But she's actually asking that question because her lawyer has had a mental break.
That's the pants down guy.
And he missed a court hearing.
Yeah.
Now.
Which is like massive drop the ball from Blondie.
Does Lake Bell take this case as well? Lake Bell comes out of nowhere and Lake Bell's like, I got this one. I got this one.
Yeah, because she didn't take the other one.
Yeah, anyway. I think we lied about that.
You did. And then
I think we were all lying about that. You mansplained
over me when I tried to correct you.
So Lake Bell shows up and she's like, oh, yeah. Your lawyer got his dick out. So I'll be your new lawyer. And she's like.
Sorry, the way you explained that was stupid.
Well, hey. Listen, this show is kind of stupid. Can I read out a line of dialogue from this episode?
Please do. Oh,
and now a line of dialogue. By Mark.
I know you're a great lawyer with exceptional legal skills. That's the line.
That's a great line. 10 out of 10.
I know how you practice law. I don't practice law like that, is another line from this episode. Little fat black kid. It's the other line I have
again,
written down.
Again, Al Sharpton said, go ahead. It is progressive for you to say that.
Fourth line I have written down.
Are you better than Al Sharpton?
Double.
Oh, yeah. Let me out of the walls.
When I went and saw the building, I put earphones in and listened to the theme song, and that's not a joke.
So Lake Bell, she's like, I'm going to be your lawyer now. Jan takes her in a room. She's like, baby, I just went to the courtroom and my lawyer didn't show up, so I need a new lawyer. And by the way, I have another case on at 5 o'clock today, so I need a lawyer there then. Basically, what's happening is my ex-husband, me and him, we made a deal.
Real piece of shit.
We made a deal back in the day that I would work and pay for his way through finance school. And then once he had a job, he would pay for me going through medical school.
Somewhere amongst there, they had two children.
They're yep. twins.
As soon as he...
Yuck.
Sorry. As soon as he... sorry.
Sorry, excuse me.
Sorry.
Fucking travesty of
no, but
nature.
The issue is that they look the same. And I'm like, oh, what? No, I can't get into that. So she,
not right now.
She, as soon as he got a job in the finance field, I think it was finance, he divorced me. And she's like, well, don't even think about it. I worked my own way through medical school and I've finally gotten the job of my dreams. And that is a residency in New York City. I want to take my kids to New York City. They haven't seen their dad. They see him like once a year, but he is not letting me take the kids to New York City, only to spite me. That's basically the case. She's like, I just want to take my kids out of town, but he will not let me. He's being really unreasonable. And so Lake Bell's like, oh, I've fallen for you. I really care about this one. I'm gonna make sure you get your kids. And then they're like, but this can take some time. We're gonna have to set this up. It's gonna take some time. And she's like, no, motherfucker, I need this done by Monday. And so they're like, okay, so they go straight from this room to the next room, and the husband is waiting there with his lawyer, and they have a conversation. And they basically try and he on his way, actually, no, he has an entrance. He walks through the lobby and he's like, Oh, woo! And then he really is
like that though. That's not even an exaggeration.
And he goes up to Tara and he goes, he looks at her, he goes, I'm looking for, and then he looks her and he looks up and down. He goes, you baby, you're the woman of my dreams. And then he goes, I've had women like you. I married a woman like you, and now she looks like you. And
you he pointed to James to Spader. Do you think he's referring
he
to
is,
Jan?
He is. He's like, I had a woman like you, and now she looks like you. And he points to James Spader.
Heavy blows.
I know. And then from then, he goes in the room, and he's like, oh, what's going on?
Where's my lawyer? Hey,
you got a great ass.
Nice.
And then he sits down and he goes.
Does all this track, Cassie?
Kind of does.
Yeah.
And the girl.
It's still a good show.
And the little girl, Jan, she goes, oh, I want the kids. You don't even care about the kids. And he goes.
I won't be doctor while having kids.
Yeah. And he goes, how about we make a fucking deal?
This is a good deal too.
I get one
the
kid.
The old parent trap.
I get one kid. You get the other kid and go fuck yourself.
And she goes, they're best friends. And he's like, and don't we all find that a little weird?
He does say that. I'm coming around to this guy, actually. Right? He's pretty
it's
sick.
It's a really fucking funny line.
And then.
It's the old parent trap.
And then she's like, no, that's not fair. Just let me take the kids. And then he kind of slams down on her and he's like, oh, okay. So you want to take the fucking kids up to New York so you can fucking work all the time and they live with a nanny? No fucking way. And then she's basically like, we're not going to.
Justice for nannies everywhere and for kids who grew up with nannies.
We're not going to.
We turned up normal.
We're not going to make a deal in this room. We have to go to court.
Yep. Let's fight.
They go to court. 5 minutes later, it does not go well. The lawyer, the judge basically goes, hey, lady. There's laws in place for a reason, just so mm-hmm. deadbeats like you don't take the kids out of town when awesome guys like these can be the dad. And he's like, fuck you, judge. And she's like, this guy rules.
Listen, lady, this guy that you're leaving, he's rad.
Yeah.
He's dope.
Look at that backwards cap. They're not going to make an agreement in court. Basically, this woman is fucked. And Lake Bell is taking this seriously. She's like, this guy sucks, but what am I going to do about it? She goes out to dinner with her beau, which is James Spader, and they're having a bit of a chat together. And it comes up that she used to fuck the Ken, and he's like, are you a bit jealous, James Spader? He's like, I'm not jealous of fucking anyone. So they're out at dinner, and then she looks across, and she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. It's only
the coolest dad in the world. The coolest
dad ever. And he's like talking to two chicks. He's like, hey, baby.
And then I said, I'm going to keep the kids and not give a fuck about them.
And they're like,
their friendship is weird.
Yeah. And then Lake Bell's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. I can't even look at this guy right now. This guy grosses me out.
I swear to God, when these two kids stand next to each other, it's like there's a fucking mirror.
Now, this scene was really interesting because James Spader borrows her phone to do what he needs to do.
Yeah,
but like, why did he have to do it on her phone?
He says, let me borrow your thing because I guess phones, he doesn't have one. No, he doesn't have a mobile.
Yeah, but then how did he have the number for the prostitute?
He just knew it off the top of his head.
He knows off the top of his head. He goes to phone booths. But at this point,
you just see him get the phone. He starts typing something.
About now.
He gets the phone. He just starts typing on it. And then we end the scene. The next scene we see is James Spader. He's walking into an office. Just walking on in, there's a lady and she's like, hey, buddy, you can't just walk in here. And he's like, I know where I'm going. He goes straight into a room.
He says, what do the five fingers say to the face? Yeah.
He walks into a room where the cool dad is in, and the cool dad's like, what the fuck are you doing in my room? And then he's like, can I see you in this other room? They go to another room and Jane Spader pulls out a dossier, if you will. Shows him some photographs. Like, is this some photographs of you with a prostitute doing cocaine off her boobies? And then
he's like, first of all, nice piece.
Yeah.
You got a nice piece. Look at how the light bounces off of those butt cheeks.
And then the cool dad's basically like, oh, no, you fucking got me.
You're supposed to be a respected lawyer in a respected law firm.
And then basically like that, then the dad agrees. And then we cut back to fucking Jan and she's like, oh my God, I'm so happy.
I don't agree with like your methods.
Yeah.
But thanks for my boy.
Something important to point out here. This was Lake Bell and Ken's case together.
But who's gone and stepped in the middle of it?
Only Ultron's
done it. And this whole episode.
To help out Lake and also at the same time slight Ken.
Well, it helps Ken because it's Ken wins the case now.
Sure.
And but he gets all the credit.
It's a slight at Ken.
Yeah, it's a slight at his manhood.
Yeah.
And his methods.
Yeah. Well, I kind of viewed it the other way. I kind of viewed it like Ken was like.
Ken literally comes in later and says, that was unethical and I don't like it.
Yeah, because Ken's by the book. He's a real fuddy-duddy.
Because he's ex-military. Did we say that?
Yeah, he is ex-military.
Is he ex-military?
Yeah.
Did he do that?
Didn't you hear the part in the song when, thank you for your service.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And there's that whole scene. They do that flashback and he does all those, like he does the pyramids at Guantanamo and stuff.
The entire staff salute him for a minute and a half on screen.
Yeah, that was good. I actually got teary-eyed in that.
I cried. Yeah, for sure.
You stupid idiots at home.
Yeah.
You're sitting there and you're like, oh, there's no way there's a third case in this episode.
Mm.
Don't worry, because there is.
Yeah.
The third case, Bookman comes in. He's from Seinfeld. He plays Bookman.
Oh, Bookman.
He comes in and he's like one of the firm's biggest clients. And he's like, he goes in and he's with the blonde girl that I feel like we talked about at the start of this episode and haven't talked about since.
Yeah.
He's
Laurie.
He's of the same age as Shatner, at least, or maybe even a little bit older. But you can tell that when this firm was just getting started, he was probably one of their clients. They probably both grew into the big deals that they are together.
Yeah. And he's a very rich man.
Yes. So a lot of the cases.
One of their biggest clients.
A lot of the cases that he won with this firm would have been what he built his industry upon to then have the squillions that he does today.
Synergy.
Now this
synergy.
This man comes in and he's talking to the blonde girl, blonde woman, and he says,
"I don't respect you," respectfully.
So this old man, he's with the blonde girl that we haven't talked about too much, but she's around this episode.
Yeah, she does things.
He's like, hey baby girl.
You single?
He bites his lips a lot.
Fucking single girl?
He's got like those cum gutters going as well.
Yeah.
Which is fucking hot. And he's like definitely in his 70s. And he's packing heat. And he's like, hey baby girl, I think my wife's cheating on me. And there's a bit of a gag here because he's like, she's been cheating on me the whole time we've been together. She's my world, like, et cetera, et cetera. And then the blonde girl's like, well, you've only been married 2 months or something like that.
It was 7 months, but it shows the connection that he has with the firm.
Yeah.
And that all of them have with him.
They all know.
They've probably done 6 of his divorces so far.
True.
Because she's like, you've been married 7 times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, listen here, sugar
tits.
This
was the real deal. We were in love.
I want you to put a private detective on her.
I want you to put a fucking bullet in her head.
I want you to take this fucking gun and shoot her right between the fucking eyes.
It was a very heavy scene.
Yeah. No, he says, I want you to get a private detective on her. And I want you to get proof of her cheating. And then she's like, well, what's that going to do? And he's like, I want to get this wedding annulled.
Yeah.
She goes to William Shatner and she says, hey, Big Willie style, our biggest client has come to us and he's given me this request. Are you okay if I do that? And William Shatner's like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. And she's like, need I remind you that this is our biggest client?
He's Mr. Big Money Bags.
And William Shatner's like, you're not doing it. And she's like, I'm going to do it. And he's like, the reason why you're not going to do it is because I'm the man that she's cheating with.
Yeah.
And us as the audience, at this point.
And then he looks at her.
We've passed out.
On the floor.
No, I've passed out. Yeah. It's too much for me. I've hit the ground.
So then you missed this.
No, I didn't see the rest of the episode. What happened?
He looks her right in the eyes and then he gestures with his hands and he's like, big piece.
He says, I got big piece?
Mm.
This episode rules.
He goes, a big old biggin.
Big old biggin?
Mm.
Wow.
It was weird.
Poetic.
Yeah. It was about 5 minutes of him just going.
You can't write that shit. And they did not.
He started, at one point he was playing it like an accordion. He was going. Bigger, smaller.
Yeah. He was going, normal guys, me. Yeah. Normal guys, me. Yeah.
She actually does end up suing him for sexual harassment. So.
Fire.
Him?
That's fire.
That's sick. This show is fucking sick.
So anyway, she's like, oh no, that makes things complicated. So then she goes and then another old man's like,
is
hey.
That like the third partner, the other old man that she goes to?
Yeah. Who's?
No, he's the managing partner. So he's not a name partner. He's not on the door, but he's hungry for it,
right?
We don't know what that means.
He's coming for Denny's grits, yeah?
What is the managing partner?
He's not happy with Denny. So he doesn't have as much power as Denny does.
He's sniffing out Denny's mental clarity starting to slip, yes. And he's trying to come like a little hound. Like he wants that truffle that is Denny's life.
I think he's more wants Denny to stop fucking with the firm.
Yeah.
The firm's slowly going broke through Denny's antics.
Yeah.
So this guy's talking to her and he's like, look, you're not going to do it. We'll find another way. You need to convince old money bags that he can't do this. And she's like, what? And he's just going to get away. He's like, look, let me deal with Denny.
Yeah, yeah.
But you go off and deal with money bags. She has a great solution, by the way.
I think her first way, she goes up to him. She goes up and she sets up a meeting. She's like, hey, you don't want a private detective. Mm. Like, it's not, you know, come on. Let's just get this done seriously. And he's like, get me a fucking private detective. And she's like, okay. And then someone gives her the piece of advice to be like, you got to get to him on his level.
Mm.
And so that's when she goes to Tara.
Talk to him in terms that he understands.
And she goes to Tara and she's like, hey, Tara, you are fucking hot.
You're the sweet tang of
the
office.
You're the sweet tang. Bend over and slap that pussy for us.
Yeah.
And Tara does
that. We need you to go full spread eagle in front of this old man and say, who's hungry?
Yeah.
Tara's not stoked about it, but she does it.
Yeah, well, she pulls rank.
Well, she pulls rank
because
and she
Laurie
goes,
does pull rank and she says, you can start your sexual harassment lawsuit tomorrow. Today, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she.
And we're all like, kiss, kiss, kiss.
So she arranges a third meeting with this guy.
And they do later.
Yeah.
She arranges a third meeting with this guy. Yeah. They get in the room.
I mean, the guy just, I have a feeling at this point that he doesn't know how to get home on his own. No, so
he's been
just
wandering the halls.
He's just wandering the halls. Yeah. Saying, where's my wife?
You get every now and then.
We're in love.
Yeah, he'll just hear from the air vents, double, double.
Who keeps saying that? Are you having sex with my wife?
Oh, yeah.
Double trouble.
Legal.
And so
consensual.
Eventually, she organizes a third fucking meeting with this guy to be like, hey, you don't.
Every time he opens up, he's like, private investigator? How are we doing on that?
No. Haven't done that yet. And then she just looks over to Tara and Tara's like,
sex him up.
Tara's like, don't worry, I got this. And she stands up. She's like, hey, hot stuff.
And it's the most obvious ploy that anyone's ever seen.
Yeah. She's like, hey, big guy, how come you get married so much? And he's like, honey, it's because I have a lot of money. And she's like, I bet you're picking a big dick down there.
Mm.
I bet you're a big boy.
And then Shatner
you're
appears.
Big boy, right?
On a big old plasma that comes down from the ceiling, he appears and just starts fucking hand recording it again.
Yeah.
Just back and forth.
She's like, you're a big boy, and I know it. I know you got the big one. And I know.
It's a weird voice change because she is English.
Yeah.
But she's going, oh yeah, go get that big old dick.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, they love you because you're such a sexy little stud, aren't you, little stud muffin? Mm. You're a little cute one, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then he's basically, he fucking after this, she's like, I fucking nailed that. They high five in the room. They're like, we've done it. After this, he goes straight into Shatner's office. He's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Why is no one doing, I only pay you for one thing. Go get a fucking private investigator.
He really likes saying, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Denny.
Yeah,
He does it twice.
Yeah.
So he goes into Denny. He's like, get me a fucking private investigator. Why is it so hard? And then Denny's like, this is like the fifth time this dude asks. And then Denny's like, I know what kind of a guy you are. And he's like, what is happening? And Denny's like, you want to feel important. Well, guess what, buddy? This isn't the time to feel important. And he gives
him this. Let's talk about relevancy.
Yeah. He gives him like this big speech. And then he leaves the room. And Denny's like,
Nailed it.
I fucking did it. So like, this is like the fifth time someone said to this guy.
Here's a question. Cause it's served to us like this is common practice.
Yeah.
Do you get a private investigator through your lawyers exclusively? Like why doesn't he just book one? Which he does, but.
Yeah. Like he's a very rich man. Just get a private investigator.
Just get a private investigator. Like he doesn't have one on payroll, you know, like I don't understand this whole. Please help me. I've forgotten since.
He can't leave the office.
Since dial phones were made obsolete, I don't know what to do.
And when you say get one on the payroll, I think like you're a far lesser rich of him when you start getting a private investigator on a payroll anyway. Like,
right.
He should have done that years ago.
Years ago.
One of the cast of Vanderpump Rules has a private investigator on the payroll.
What?
I'll cut that.
Yeah.
So,
but in no matter what, it's all we talk about.
So eventually he comes back into the office like for the fifth time
and never left.
And he sits across from Denny and Denny's like, I'm not going to get the private investigator in the end. Thanks for talking me out of it. That wasn't the right thing to do. And Denny's like, I fucking did it. I did it. I convinced this guy to not get a private investigator because I'm fucking his wife. And then he pulls out a gun.
Nice.
He pulls out a gun.
And a dremor.
And he points it at Denny and he's like, did you fuck my wife, Denny? Denny, did you fuck my wife?
Denny, let me ask you one question.
Scary
movie. Did you perform coitus with my wife?
And this is where Denny's like, okay. Okay, buddy, you got me. I fucked her. I fucked her good. But here's the thing.
Tell me one thing.
He's not like, whoa, get out the gun. He's like, yeah. Yeah. The whole time watching this episode, I thought there would be a reveal at the end that Denny wasn't the man.
Tell it to me straight, Denny.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that the way this was going is he didn't want I thought the whole plot of this would be that he didn't want a private investigator involved because, like, he was doing it for the wife. Like, not because he didn't want to get a cheating. It was just like, this guy's been married so many times. I don't want to put another woman through this. He can just get divorced with her. He's so rich. It doesn't have to be this way. That's what I thought.
Interesting angle.
And I thought
Denny's not that bad.
I thought the only way he was like, I'm the husband, so that all the lawyers would drop it because it's like, they're like, oh, shit, we don't want to
get in that. No, Denny's 100% for himself.
But I'd say like, Denny's pro bono.
Pro bono
for himself.
Yeah,
that's good shit. But yeah, he's like, yeah, I did. I had sex with your wife, and he's like,
did you put your dirt in her?
And then eventually, he's like, can you just? Are you even going to apologize to me? And then Denny's like, I'm sorry for railing that woman. Absolutely,
yeah,
doing it. And then eventually, he's like, then Denny looks at him. He's like, he's like, you're not going to kill me or something like that. He's like, because I bought you that gun and it's a starter pistol.
Which, like, first of all.
What?
What?
What are we doing?
What's happening?
Why did he buy him a starter pistol?
Was it because he knew that one day he'd attempt to shoot him with it?
Or was he like,
No, I think the guy knew it was a starter pistol, but just wanted to threaten Denny, not thinking about the fact that Denny knew that it was a starter pistol.
Why does he have a starter pistol?
Does he participate?
When they hunt the poor.
No, can I just ask one thing? Is a starter pistol like
to on your
start,
marks
to start races?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, but when they hunt the poor,
was there like
you've got to give them a start?
Was there a scene we didn't see where this the head of like this rich man was like, you know, I might get into like, you know, like starting races. You know, like, well, I want to be the guy that shoots the gun when people run.
Well, we don't see. Well, actually, no. I think there is a scene, maybe slipped in there. I can't remember, but they do talk about it. He actually is a large donor to the Paralympics.
Oh, and, okay.
He does every that's time it's
beautiful.
On.
That's
He pulls the trigger.
It's always it's really.
Why does his wife fuck other men? It just makes no sense.
I know
to
he's
me.
Such a nice guy.
She loves athletes, and when your husband works within the Paralympics, you're surrounded by them.
He says it's not a real gun, and then the guy's like, fuck me, I guess. End of scene.
You know, I thought he was going to put the gun on himself.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought he was going to be like, are you at least going to apologize to me? And he's going to be like, because throughout the episode, they've been talking about, whenever Shatner's been talking about money bags to other people, he's sort of been saying how he's kind of self-destructive and hates himself and talks about him looking in the mirror and saying like, I suck or something along those lines, you know?
He thought it was going that way.
So I thought that he was going to be like, thanks.
Yeah. Pretty intense.
Bow, 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 bow.
Double.
That scene kind of ends. And then that's the three cases for the episode. Have I missed anything?
So then it just ends the way every episode ends with Denny and Ultron.
Which is my favorite part. It was my favorite part.
Out on the balcony.
Just them talking shit, talking about rabbits. You know, Ultron's just, he's got a great voice, you know, and he looks like he's either a little high or a little sleepy.
Yeah.
You know, while also, trying to acquire the bag and have sex with you all in the one eye shape. I don't know what's going on there, but it is palpable.
It is.
And can
Do
I
you
say,
get where I'm coming from?
I found God.
Yes! Yeah, they love that. Thank you. Love that you found God.
I found God.
Does anything really happen in this talk? It's just kind of like a man-to-man.
You're my
mentor. I'm your mentee.
We touched on it. Ken comes out and he's like, I don't like the way you do things. And then he goes, guess what? I don't give a fuck. And just sits down and turns his back on Ken.
Yeah.
And Shatner sits there and just kind of just goes. And then Ken
really
leaves.
Fucked Ken up there.
He's like, way to pull rank, Ken.
Yeah. And that's kind of the end of the pilot episode.
It was so nice.
So that leads us on to ratings for the pilot episode of Boston Legal. Cassie, what are you giving it?
9. It loses a point because my favorite character wasn't in it.
Who's your favorite character? Christina Ricci?
Jerry Epstein.
Ooh. Oh, no, I like a different Epstein, but we won't go into that.
Yeah.
Kale,
shouts out.
What are you giving this one?
I, at first, couldn't care less.
Mm-hmm.
About the show, I found myself slipping in and out of actually watching it. But I just fucking loved Ultron. I thought Ultron was cool as hell. And then I sort of got sucked into it a little bit. Also had Mel there helping.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, the show's good.
Oh, really? She liked it?
I respect and love her.
Mel
so
loves
I'm
my choices.
Giving the show a 7.
Seven.
Amazing.
You should become a blacklist boy. I'm pretty sure he just took this character and kept doing it in another show.
That's
and,
what he
and
does.
And he's younger in Blacklist?
No, he's older.
Much older. It's much still older. Running. Yeah. It's like on season fucking 17 or some
Hell
shit.
Hell yeah, motherfucker. I'm giving this one a hot 4. Didn't like it very much. I thought I just thought it was weird. Like, I didn't like the tone. The tone bugged me.
I never noticed.
Double.
That's the thing. I've jumped in on that joke the entire episode, but I don't recall that happening at all.
Great. And as someone who sleeps to this show, it's like the soundtrack to my dreams.
Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't dig it. I thought it felt like Suits to me. You know.
Oh God! Suits. Don't describe someone that I work with also compared to Suits. Fuck off. Yeah,
it kind of feels like that. It wasn't my bag, but hey, we've cracked open a new season of Test Pilot. If you have any episode recommendations, write into testpilotpodcast@gmail.com. Highest rated of the season and lowest rated of the season. Get some tasty, tasty merch. You've got 20 chances to do it, so write in as many times as you would like. Thank you guys for kicking off a new season with me. Thank you, Cassie. Thank you, Kale. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Charlie, for biting him. We know that you had to do it. And we're going to end this episode in the same way that we've ended episodes all the way from episode 1, now episode 1 million, and that's by saying,
I know you want to fuck me, baby. Yeah, please.